This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host V Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. The latest from NPR News is coming up in 20 minutes at the top of the hour. More now from the Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln's Next 10 Extra Series, activating the state fairgrounds year-round. John Stremsurfer and Al Grosvall moderate the panel, including Jerry Costello, Marla Calico, and Cindy Hoy, as they share their state fair and fairground experience. Here, the panel emphasizes how third-party partnerships are crucial in fairground success.
Let me turn to the issue of partnerships with other organizations. Many state fairs, including Illinois, have worked with other organizations, both agriculture-related as well as otherwise, to increase the use of the fairgrounds and attract more visitors. For example, Jerry mentioned Illinois has partnered with a lot of horse organizations from around the country, and that's kept our horse facilities busy much of the season. And in Indiana, you've lured sports teams and others to use your facilities. Marla, I'm going to turn to you first and just ask, are there other examples of how fairs and expos have expanded year-round utilization of their facilities?
The year-round rental business, that is, I think, the number one situation. There are going to be some unique situations. For example, the amateur and some semi-professional sporting opportunities in certain markets is definitely going to be there. But expanding that rental business, treating it as a business, I think is really the driver on all of it. And again, we have numerous examples of where that is. When we think about partnerships and when we think about that marriage between a government entity and a, for example, a for-profit, we are beginning to see the rise of interest in partnership agreements between the fair and the entity and, for example, hotel development, because that will help drive a lot of things. In fact, when I was at Georgia National, they are getting ready to announce and break ground on a hotel that will be built right on property and will actually connect to their main conference center. Kentucky State Fair has in a number. LA County Fair, which does not fit in the same model, they've been operating a hotel, a Sheraton hotel, for decades now. So that's one of the things that we're going to see as the growth of the non-fair business, which is going to drive economic development within the community. In order to be fully robust, you've got to have the hotel infrastructure. And that is not to take away from the local hotel development. It's in partnership with the entire economic development that we're seeing. It's just there are certain events that you're going to have a lock on the market if you can get a hotel property right on grounds.
Jerry, our fairgrounds is on Route 66. If we are looking at ways to partner on events or activities that might be celebrating Route 66.
Al, we are, and as a matter of fact, right outside Gate 2, we are working on some remodel, rehab, which would be in that theme, so right up that alley. Marla, one of the things that our chief of staff here, Jeremy Flynn, and I have talked about extensively is the possibility of putting a hotel on the grounds here in Springfield. That makes tremendous sense to me. As I said, you know, sometimes we'll have four weddings in a weekend and a number of other events. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's just, it's something that compounds the interest when you can actually stay on property, not have to drive anywhere.
Another one to look at is Ohio. Ohio State Fair has a hotel, motel on their property, and LA County Fair also has a hotel on their property. That might be another idea for you. And Denver Stock Show, the National Western, is going through a huge transformation, and they've partnered a lot with the university. Their master plan has Colorado State involved at a high level.
It is a huge development, and it's widely supported by the community. And there was a bond issue of many, many hundreds of millions of dollars put into this. But it's very unique because it will be an education center combined with CSU, but it will also be a huge attraction. The National Western drops about 500,000 people to Denver in January. So it is certainly a model. And it was really the city and the state got involved because there was the threat of taking the whole National Western outside outside of Denver. They were going to move it 40, 50 miles away. And it is certainly a unique partnership. When you think about the university extension, I mean, we're all married, fairs and university extension. It's a natural type of partnership that can develop. And that when you bring that synergy of the outreach, right? And when we think about what fairs do at their very heart and soul, we're touching the lives of people. We're changing the lives, especially of kids. So what better opportunity than to get involved with university and education?
Who plans and strategizes for your organization? You've got a board that you utilize. Can you talk a little bit about that planning and strategy and oversight?
Our governance structure is State Fair Commission appointed by the governor, ex officios. We also have a fair board and then the staff. And we work together collaboratively to develop a 3-year strategic plan. Jerry talked about a master plan. We just updated our master plan 2 years ago with the property assets. Our strategic plan is on a 3-year cycle. We actually skipped this past 2020. We all like to skip 2020. We're on a little hiatus, but the strategic plan will be updated this fall. The staff develops a business plan that supports on an annual basis that strategic plan. Being held accountable by a number of goals that we individually as well as the organization has on an annual basis.
Every state fair operates a little bit differently. Some operate totally independent of state monies. Others receive some state money. Some have a quasi relationship. My experience working in the Edgar administration back in the 90s, we began weaning the state fair off of general revenue funds to operate off of the revenues from the prior year. The amount of general revenue fund now dedicated to the state fair in Illinois has diminished dramatically. I'm curious what others are seeing, Jerry, maybe what you're seeing in terms of the support for state funding of fairs, whether that be for capital, whether it be for operations, et cetera. Marla, are you seeing any national trends on that issue of public support?
Still kind of hit and miss and really depends upon the states that in question. We actually did a survey of fairs. It'll soon be coming up on 2 years in May of 2019. And not every fair has a state fair. There are 22 fairs that have some tie with their state. But they vary from one that's run by the Department of Agriculture to those that are considered quasi-agencies, right? And then there are 17 state fairs that are totally private, not for profit. Of the 22 that we say have some tie to government, 9 of those receive funding in terms of general operations support. 18 receive sometimes capital improvement support, but there's no guarantee. No one has any guarantee of any of all of that. And every state is struggling to find the ways to preserve what is a tremendous asset, because just the maintenance, when you talk about all of those buildings, you know, built over 100 years ago, the maintenance, the deferred maintenance to take care of acres of roofs, the cost is staggering. If our states truly want to preserve their asset, then they've got to find a way to put money into those assets. And I believe strongly that the returns are going to be huge.
It does seem that even in cases where states have moved away from major funding of their fairs, they still are there to support capital projects. And my guess is particularly on these more historic and notable buildings. Cindy, could you talk just a little bit about Indiana and your relationship with state funding?
Yeah, so back in the 40s, we were included in the state property tax. So 0.007 cents, something like that. And that mill tax came to us probably about 2.2 million when property tax went away. And so from it going from property tax, then it went into the general fund. So that support has been there since the 40s. Indiana was at a crossroads with massive amounts of deferred maintenance, infrastructure issues, just at a crossroads back in the early 90s. And two governors got together and created the State Fair Commission, and then the legislature came together and created a funding stream to put a massive amount of capital quickly into this asset, knowing that it was a gem of the state and their responsibility to take care of this property. And so that's kind of the quick history of when things changed. But it really was a hard stop of, do we still need this institution? Should it remain where it is? Should it move someplace else? And are we going to support it?
As states are looking at funding, they're also trying to figure out, where is that money coming from? And the horse may already be out of the barn in Illinois, but the one that comes to mind is Colorado State Fair. They're getting certainly a lot of money off of recreational marijuana. Whenever they enacted legislation to have recreational marijuana, the fair was part of that funding. So they get a stream off of that. And one that is a unique situation, it's different than the state fair run by the government, but Nebraska State Fair, I think it's worth to bring forward. Nebraska State Fair is a quasi-state agency. They basically run as a not-for-profit, as a 501c3. But whenever there was a move to take the property and move it away from Lincoln, they put it to Grand Island, 100 and some miles away from any population. And it's been extraordinarily successful because when they did that, the incentive was 10% from the state lottery proceeds are dedicated to the fair. And I pulled the numbers on that. They average $4.35 million a year, and they've had over $55 million piled into the fair since then. Back to Colorado, they got a combined $400,000 just from their city and county governments as well. So two or three areas where the city and county are kicking in to make sure that that local asset is preserved.
Jerry, any quick thoughts about your sense of expectations on state financing?
We finally had a capital bill in 2019. Which we went over a decade without one. A lot of money was put into the fairgrounds here, thank God, because we were in desperate need after the budget stalemate that we went through for years. GRF is about 15% of our funding, about 73% is other state funds, and 12% comes from federal funding. There's no doubt that we need to find ways and creative ways to work through the foundation, public-private partnerships to create funding for the fairgrounds here, as well as the fact of dealing with the legislature and the governor. We are very, very lucky that Governor Pritzker, number one, loves both state fairs and really, really enjoys the Springfield and DuQuoin State Fairgrounds and understands their significance.
You can go to the state fair and you see various forms of art sometimes on display. The question is whether or not, I'm going to start with Marla on this, we've seen any examples where state fairs have expanded more into the area of art and the display of art on maybe not just during the 10 days of a fair. Any examples that stand out in your mind, or maybe Cindy, you're nodding, either one of you?
Cindy probably should be the first one. She's an artist as well. What comes to my mind right off the bat is Minnesota State Fairgrounds in terms of some of their most recent improvements, in that I can't recall exactly if specific sculptures and artworks were included, but the architecture alone is so visually appealing. So that comes to mind. Cindy, I think about going around all of your fairgrounds and it just seems like there is art, whether it is in living landscapes or the infrastructure there, but
we have partnered with some of the art institutions to do some activation, not only during the fair, but year round. There was a festival at one time that elevated entrepreneur artists in the market. And so those are the kinds of things that we love to champion.
You'll see in the near future, a beautiful sculpture and statue right outside of the Coliseum. So that is absolutely a direction that we're heading in on the Illinois State Fairgrounds as well.
Are other types of business set up on fairgrounds, such as permanent restaurants or other permanent types of businesses? Any examples of that you've seen?
We're working with a potential tenant right now that wants to put in whiskey production distillery using one of those buildings that I've talked about that were only used for single use and use it 365 days out of the year. And so we're just in the final stages of working out the finances and what that would look like on a long-term basis. The other thing we have been looking at, there's percolating development, residential multi-use development, and we're thinking about some of our outside lots and where there might be potential to maximize some of that space too.
The Iowa State Fair just entered into a partnership. They took it's a permanent building on the ground that was known as kind of a saloon type place during fair, but I believe they're operating it, if not totally year round, but there may be, it's at least operating during other events. I'm not sure of that. And then one that's not related to a state fairgrounds per se, but in the Eastern States Exposition operates an historic tavern in their Star Village, and it's open all year round, and it's like the place to eat in West Springfield, Massachusetts.
What does the future of fairgrounds look like around America? Is this the right inflection point for reimagining their use for a modern world? Jerry, last word for you.
Yeah, John, I have to say in my last words that one of the things that I don't think we in Illinois do a good enough job of making sure people understand, ag's the number one industry in the state of Illinois. One in four jobs are in some way, shape, or form ag-related in the state. It's a $9 billion economic impact annually. It's this fairgrounds, what we have here, it's amazing. We've got to do everything we can to utilize it, not just for Springfield, the surrounding area, but for the state in general. And 4-H, FFA, our youth, they're the future of agriculture, the new ag economy in this state and in the country. So whatever we can do to push those messages forward, I'm all in. And multi-purposing the facility definitely makes sense as far as making sure it's around for generations to come.
Jerry Costello on why the Illinois State Fairgrounds are important to Illinoisans. That concludes today's Community Voices from the Next 10 Expert Series. Thanks also to the Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln President and CEO John Strumsurfer for making the audio available to us. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois.